Good morning, everyone. I hope you are all keeping well. Welcome to this presentation of Natural & Root PLC's financial results for the year ended 31st of March 2021. As Charlie has just said, and as most of you know, I am Alistair Borthwick, CFO of NAT, and I am joined today for this presentation by Stuart Gray, our Director of Group Treasury and Corporate Finance. Before we jump into the presentation, I'd like to make a quick comment about our reporting calendar. Due to the proximity of our year-end to the timing of the recent bond issuance and refinancing, this presentation is being held slightly later in the year than normal, albeit I'm sure you'll agree that 2020 was also an abnormal year. From next year, we plan to hold these presentations much closer to the publication of the accounts, and that typically occurs at the end of June or in early July. If you keep an eye out on the newly updated and more prominent investor section of our website, key dates for your calendar will soon be included there. So this morning, we will aim to run through the slides in this presentation in good time and leave an opportunity for Q&A at the end. Our aim today is to provide you with a summary of our performance for the year, followed by some updates from a regulatory perspective. We will then look at the financial results in more detail before turning to some operational highlights. The final slides of the presentation take us through a review of our ESG performance and our continued investment plans. So, turning to slide three in the pack. Managing the impact of COVID and the uncertainty it created was the defining theme of the last financial year. That continues to be our focus. We responded quickly and effectively to restrictions caused by the pandemic, particularly in our operational areas. And as we talked to many of you about during our recent issuance process, we found new ways of working during this period. Restrictions on air travel to control the pandemic led to a 73% fall in the volume of flights we handled during the financial year. This significantly impacted our liquidity and, as you know, our price control is now being redetermined by the CAA. However, the actions we have taken to maintain a resilient operation, support our customers, secure our long-term finances, and reduce our cost base ensure that we are well placed to support the recovery in air travel. By way of reminder, our three urgent priorities for 2020 were, firstly, to protect the health, safety, and well-being of our workforce while maintaining a safe and resilient air traffic control service for our customers. Secondly, given the loss of short-term income that we faced, we sought to preserve our liquidity to ensure the viability of our business for all stakeholders. And thirdly, we commenced work to secure a revised regulatory settlement for the superseded RP3 determination. It aims to provide a balanced plan for dealing with a post-COVID operating environment. We have started and are well progressed on preparing that detailed revised business plan. The emerging plan will be used in extensive customer consultations over the next couple of months, with a final proposed plan being published early in 2022 for subsequent assessment by the CAA. On slide four, we show the financial highlights for the year, which we'll go into more detail on shortly. Total revenue and regulatory allowances of £687 million were £50 million lower than the prior year. NERL made a pre-tax loss of £34 million compared to a profit of £29 million in the prior year. Rather than our usual position of generating cash from operations, we utilised £258 million of cash. This was after reducing our capital expenditure by more than half, dropping £77 million to £74 million. As a result, our net debt increased by £336 million to £599 million. Our gearing, which is expressed as the ratio of net debt, as defined in our licence to regulatory assets, increased from 29% at 31st of March 2020 to 50% at 31st of March 2021. You may recall that the gearing cap imposed by the CAA in our licence is 65%, so we remain well within that. No dividends were paid this financial year, and the dividends that are shown in the prior year were paid in calendar year 2019, well before the onset of COVID-19 or any indication as to how severe it may well be. As I said, we'll go into a bit more detail on these results later in the presentation. So turning to slide five, the clearest articulation of the impact of COVID on air traffic is the volume of flights in UK airspace since January 2020. And we look at this as a percentage of 2019 levels. And this is shown in the chart on slide five here. Following the restrictions in air travel in March 2020 and the first national lockdown, airlines grounded most of their fleets in April and May. As restrictions gradually eased in June and July, there was some recovery to 40% levels by September, but this subsequently reversed as tiered restrictions were introduced in October, followed by a second lockdown in November for England alongside circuit breakers in other home nations. The emergence of a new variant of COVID in December led to more countries banning air travel from the UK, and traffic volumes remained at around 20% for the remainder of the financial year following the third national lockdown implemented later that month. You will have no doubt seen the widely publicised position on flight traffic volumes in recent months. Much of Europe is seeing traffic recovery in the 70 to 80% levels now, with domestic flights for some countries back in line with 2019 levels. The UK, however, continues to lag European traffic levels by 10 to 20%, as it has for most of the pandemic to date. This lag reflects the different flight mix between countries and the NSP operators, but also reflects the differing government policies that are in place. Overall, the reduction in flight volumes in the financial year resulted in much lower receipts from en route charges, but this was partially mitigated by us taking rapid action to preserve liquidity by reducing costs and pausing capital investment except for critical sustainment activity for a six-month period. As I touched on already, this led to higher net debt and some asset value write-downs. Moving on to slide six, our economic regulatory framework provides a defined level of protection from traffic shortfalls. It enables these to be recovered through subsequent charges as appropriate for critical national infrastructure which is required to be available at all times. However, the scale and duration of the reduction of air traffic experienced has been completely unprecedented. COVID emerged during the period when the CMA was considering the referral of RP3 and the CAA's settlement decision. They decided that the impact of COVID was too difficult to assess properly as part of their final determination. The CAA were therefore instructed to review these matters when better information was available. So the CAA will now reassess the years 2020 to 2022, looking at determined costs retrospectively. They will also determine a new five-year price control from 2023. This will be known as NR23, and it will be determined when there should be more certainty on the shape of the recovery of air travel. The 2020 to 22 reassessment reflects the CMA's expectation that a reconciliation exercise would be necessary for this interim period with reference to actual flight volumes and actual costs incurred since the start of 2020. The approach to this reconciliation is being developed by the CAA. They have stated that this will aim to support an efficiently operated NERL's financeability as well as seek to deliver affordable charges for customers. Indications from the CAA thus far are that it will allow the recovery of redetermined revenue shortfalls from that period, that's the period of 2020 to 22, over a 5 to 7 year average period rather than the current 2 year recovery window. This is with a view to supporting the industry's wider recovery. To the extent practicable, they have also stated that they will seek to allow the full recovery of revenue consistent with supporting NERL's financeability. The outcome of the CAA reconciliation and the redetermination of the price control is not expected to be finalised until during 2022. And as shown on slide 7, this has meant that the FY 2021 results needed to include an assessment at the balance sheet date of three things, those three things being the outcome of the CAA's reconciliation exercise, and then the extended period for recovering the shortfall in revenues through regulatory allowances, and finally also the new basis of presenting these amounts. It also meant that the refinancing in June 21, following issuance of the 2031 and 33 bonds during May 21, was sized and structured to take account of and allow flexibility for the best view at that time of the CAA's review. I'll now hand over to Stuart just to run through the next two sections. This includes the detailed run-through of the financials. Stuart.
Thank you, Alistair, and good morning, everyone. So slide 8 in your pack provides a bridge of revenue and regulatory allowances. The majority of the £50 million reduction this year that Alistair mentioned earlier comes from lower en route and London Approach revenue, which, as you will see from the chart here, was £27 million lower. This is then laid out in more detail in the box on the top right-hand corner, which shows a £437 million reduction in revenue, but a £410 million increase in regulatory allowances for recovery over future years. Turning back to the waterfall, revenue from our North Atlantic en route service was down £17 million, and this represented a 54% reduction year on year. And this was due to the absence in relation to this service of a traffic volume risk sharing mechanism. Our other revenue on a net basis was lower than the prior year by £6 million. Now turning to slide 9, the pre-tax loss for the year of £34 million reflected the impacts of COVID, leading to the reduced income, as described on the previous slide, impairment of the carrying value of assets, most notably goodwill, where there was an impairment of £111 million compared to £49 million in the prior year. And that increase, as shown in the waterfall chart, was £62 million. Actions to reduce the cost base to preserve liquidity was the third key impact. In the waterfall, this is shown by the furlough, voluntary redundancy, capitalised labour and other OPEX savings bars, the net of these being a £7 million improvement in profitability, but a £63 million improvement if shown prior to the one-off redundancy costs. It is worth perhaps clarifying that the pause in capital investment mentioned earlier was what resulted in the lower level of internal labour being capitalised. In relation to bad debts, we set aside provisions at the end of last year in relation to the risk of airline default. However, this turned out to be overly prudent, and at this year end, a lower overall bad debt risk provision was required. On the next slide, on slide 10, we show a summary of the cash flow for the year. The company used cash of £258 million for its operating activities, in contrast to 2020 when it generated operating cash of £212 million. This use of cash for its operating activities was despite extensive measures to control cost and conserve cash, and it reflected the significant reduction in revenue receipts following the fall in air traffic volumes in the period. As alluded to on the last slide, CapEx was curtailed at £74 million compared to £148 million in the prior year, which reduced cash outflows from investing activities. In relation to financing cash flows, the company received advance en route charges of £102 million from Eurocontrol, which more than offset interest costs and debt repayments, the latter of which principally related to bond amortisation payments of £42 million and index-linked swap repayments of £14 million. As mentioned earlier by Alistair, there were no dividend payments this year. As a result, net financing cash inflows were £15 million, and this meant that NERL's cash as at 31st of March 2021 was £172 million. Slide 11 shows the balance sheet as at 31st of March 2021, along with the prior year comparator. The key movements relate to the carrying value of goodwill, amounts recoverable under regulatory agreement, the value of the DB pension scheme that has been closed to new entrants since 2009, and net debt. So firstly, a goodwill impairment of £111 million was recognised by NIRL this year, as this was necessary to write down the balance to the carrying value, writing down its carrying value to the recoverable amount. However, for the avoidance of doubt, this charge does not impact NIRL's cash flows or its regulatory return. The change in amounts recoverable under regulatory agreements relates principally to the traffic volume risk-sharing mechanism referenced by Alistair earlier in the regulatory context section. In relation to pensions, the funding position of NIRL's share of the scheme showed a £24 million deficit at the 31st of March 21, compared to a £172 million surplus last year. Now, this valuation, which is measured under International Accounting Standards, so IAS 19, uses best estimate assumptions, and the movement over the year was largely due to changes in the real yield of AA-rated corporate bonds, which fell 75 basis points over the year. For your reference, NIRL's share of the assets and liabilities under the scheme was slightly over £3.8 billion. Lastly on this slide, where the £336 million increase in net debt, this was mainly due to the £316 million decrease in cash and short-term deposits. So as set out on our next slide on page 12, our response to the shortfall in liquidity was to conserve £200 million of cash through a number of measures, including freezing recruitment, staff pay restraint, and releasing most external contractors, along with furloughing staff under the government's job retention scheme, curtailing non-staff costs, and working closely with our suppliers to manage working capital. In addition, as we've mentioned a few times, we've deferred 80 million or so of capital investment. In terms of financing activity, you will be aware that in June 21, we refinanced the company's existing bonds and bank facilities, replacing them with 1.6 billion of new funding. And this has provided us with longer-term, sustainable and efficient funding structure. Our liquidity at around the time the accounts were signed was circa £900 million. Throughout the period of the pandemic, cost prudence has remained and will remain essential. And this level of liquidity is to bridge the extended period for recovering our revenue shortfall and to deal with the ongoing uncertainty, such that we maintain sufficient liquidity in credible downside scenarios. From an operational perspective, and turning now to slide 13, our priority throughout has been the health and well-being of our workforce while maintaining a safe and resilient service for customers. Our focus has been on retaining the skills and capacity necessary to safely support the long-term recovery of aviation. The first of the graphics on this slide relates to traffic. The volume of flights, as Alistair mentioned, fell this year by 73% to 661,000 from 2.48 million in the prior year, reflecting the COVID travel restrictions. In terms of safety, the middle graphic, there were no risk-bearing air proxies attributable to our service. For your reference, an air prox here is a situation in which, in the opinion of a pilot or controller, the safety of an aircraft was or may have been compromised. And the severity of incidents is assessed periodically by the UK Air Prox Board, an independent body in the interest of enhancing safety. Finally, before handing back to Alistair for the final slides, we show our average en route delay per flight. which was 1.0 seconds for calendar year 2020, compared to 8.4 seconds in 2019. Now, our license entitles us to a service incentive bonus, but we have told customers and the regulator that we will not seek to recover this, as performance has been largely driven by low traffic volumes associated with the impact of COVID.
Thank you, Stuart.
With that, I'll hand back to Alistair.
Thanks, Stuart. So, turning to slide 14. On this slide, we show the highlights from this year's Responsible Business Report. That full report is available on our website. Stuart mentioned on the previous slide that we will not be seeking a service incentive bonus in relation to our performance in 2020. This relates to both the delay performance and also our environmental performance metric, which is known as 3DI. Our flight efficiency 3DI score for calendar year 2020 was 23.9, significantly lower and therefore better than the prior year score of 29. The reason that is on a calendar year basis is that relates to our regulatory years as opposed to our financial years. COVID has fundamentally changed so much in our day-to-day lives, but the pandemic has not downgraded the imperative of addressing the climate emergency across all areas of our economy and society. We had already, pre-COVID, committed to play our part in aviation's roadmap towards decarbonising by 2050, and that pledge remains. Discussions within the industry and with other stakeholders on the restart of aviation have emphasised using this opportunity to focus on environmental performance. There is no doubt that we have to take specific action to reduce the environmental impact of aviation in the coming decade. This is critical to avoid our industry becoming socially unacceptable and misaligned with the UK's commitments on climate change. One of our responses to this challenge has been to put in place programmes and targets that will reduce carbon emissions from operating our business to zero by 2035. Clearly, this means a significant shift in emphasis for the entire company towards ensuring our day-to-day activities align with this objective. When it comes to the operational impact of aviation, zero carbon solutions for flight are still a long way off. Until then, there will inevitably have to be a balance between the environment and air traffic capacity. We will continue to focus on enhancing the sustainability of our service while still meeting the capacity requirements of our customers. In relation to this, improvements to airspace efficiency during the year helped enable almost 40,000 tonnes of CO2 emission savings. Finally, before opening for questions, slide 15 outlines some key points on our investment programme. The changes we are making now and over the next 10 years will ensure the UK remains at the forefront of global aviation. It will shape the way we travel and support a more sustainable industry. Four facets of this plan are drawn out here. Firstly, airspace modernisation, where we are working with airports and airlines to make routes more direct, more efficient, and with reduced delay. These changes to our airspace will be facilitated by technology innovation, with updates to our core air traffic management infrastructure that will strengthen safety, increase efficiency, and reduce the environmental impact of flights. Thirdly, we continue to undertake research and development, working with partners from industry, academia and government. Finally, in what remains a fast-changing area, we are future-proofing our systems to provide safe and secure air traffic control services for anyone who wants to fly any type of aircraft in our skies. This includes drones and wider considerations around the potential impacts of spaceports. That brings us to the end of the formal presentation slides. I'll now hand back to Charlie to facilitate any questions. Many thanks.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, it's star followed by two. And if you've joined online, please press the flag icon on your web browser. The first first question comes from Jonathan Neve of Philadelphia International. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. We've seen, I guess, in the last couple of months, a couple of the airports lowering their traffic forecast for the year and to a lesser extent for next year. So I was just wondering, is it fair to say compared to when you did the bond refinancing that the outlook has kind of deteriorated with the for example, the transatlantic routes not opening as you may have expected? And then what is the risk in your scenario analysis? What is the impact if the regulatory receivable becomes kind of so large that the CAA decides to, for example, extend the recovery period out to, say, 10 years? How does that impact your planning in terms of the liquidity that you may need, the refinancing that you may need to do in the market? And then also, could you just elaborate a little bit on the 102 million advance that you received from Eurocontrol? Is that just a sort of one-off that's already kind of rolled off, or is that something you think that you could potentially do more of and extend to preserve some liquidity? Thank you.
Thanks. I'll take those questions in order. So in terms of the traffic position, yes, you're right. It's continuing to move, and it's moving from day to day, week to week. But I think what we are seeing over recent days is an improvement in that. And actually, the improvement we have seen is fitting in line with our expectations for this stage as to where we were. So if I look back to when we did the bond issuance and the scenario that we had on traffic, the position we've got just now would be slightly behind where that was, but it's well within the parameters of the sensitivities and scenarios that we looked at. And some of that is actually helped by when it comes to liquidity, to a point which is linked to your second question, or the second aspect of that, which is around, for instance, the transatlantic travel. So with transatlantic, what we have seen, bizarrely, is actually a higher level of transatlantic than we had seen through some of the other areas. So our traffic coming in from the west, so the transatlantic traffic, and the overflights we were seeing from that was higher than what we had either domestically or heading to the east. Whilst the passenger numbers around that, which is what would impact the airports more, weren't obviously where they would need to be. The flights themselves, the transatlantic nature of them, is actually beneficial to us. So our chargeable service units benefited from the fact that our mix was different to normal and we had a higher propensity of transatlantic in that window as well. So that was actually beneficial. We're seeing that normalise now and it's heading back, but what we are seeing is a stronger recovery on domestic and we're seeing the European travel pick up, so it balances out and broadly fits in with what we expected. Time will tell, obviously, as to how that continues to evolve and develop, and hopefully with some of the news coming out just now on changes to the traffic light system, which has been challenging, we'll continue to see a facilitation of improvement in traffic levels in the weeks and months ahead. But our most recent indication is that we've managed to go through 60% of levels in recent days and weeks, which is the highest that we've seen since COVID began. So indications around that are positive, but clearly do remain uncertain. With regards to the impact on the regulatory receivable and the CAA moving with that, one of the things I would say around that, the CAA have been very cognizant of the fact that they have their duty of care around financeability for NERL. And so we are, as you would expect, speaking regularly with them, and we are in ongoing dialogue with them, as well as formally, informally. And they are aware of, obviously, the impact of any changes to that and what it might be. What we have been pushing for is a five-year recovery. We've been very aware that they have, to an extent, kept their powder dry and are consulting on a 5 to 7 year window in line with the European regulations. But they may well look at something that is slightly different and I think possibly get towards an average 7 year, which would see it perhaps split over regulatory periods and perhaps sort of blended to a 7 year window. Now, the main thing for us around that is down to the indication we gave during the issuance that we would look to come back to the market at some point in the next 2 years from the point of issuance of the bonds. And a large part of that will be once we have greater clarity from the CAA with regards to what might happen with that receivable and how they might approach it, to then allow us to effectively align a large part of that additional issuance to that receivable, which will help profile the structure on that and help us from a liquidity point of view. To the final point, just on the Eurocontrol advance, that is very much a one-off, and it's not something that I would expect us to see. So long as airlines continue to pay and don't all come together with Eurocontrol suggesting that they won't pay any of the bills over a short period. Now, we've not had any indications of that since the initial extremely uncertain days of the first couple of months of the pandemic and groundings at 7 to 10% of traffic levels. We continue to get paid on time. In fact, 99% of our bills are getting paid, which is well within normal parameters that we would expect. They're getting paid absolutely on time and the rest coming through thereafter. So I don't expect anything like that Eurocontrol loan to either be needed or for the situations which surrounded that to arise again based on everything that we're seeing just now.
Thank you. If I could just ask one follow-up, sorry. If it did turn out that the recovery of the regulatory receivable was extended over two control periods, are you confident that that would be sufficient to maintain the current credit ratings that you have? Thanks.
Stuart, do you want to pick that one up?
Yes, I'm happy to, Alistair. So, yeah, Jonathan, I think I'm positioned that I'm reasonably comfortable at the moment. Obviously, it's a bit theoretical because we don't quite know what SARA wants to do and indeed what the rating agencies, how they might react to that. But I think, as Alistair said, one thing that CA has been very clear about is ensuring the ongoing financeability of the company and therefore ensuring that, you know, in due course that cash is recoverable. And I think that is going to be the key thing from the perspective of the credit rating agencies. But, yeah, difficult to predict exactly what they do, but I think at the moment we're not too concerned from a rating perspective.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now, or if you have joined online, please press the flag icon on your web browser. There are no further questions at this time. There are no further questions, so I'll hand back to the team.
Thank you, Charlie. So if no further questions, thank you for taking the time to join us today. And if there are any additional questions or any further queries you may have, obviously the team are available to answer questions through the usual means. So thank you for joining us today and enjoy the rest of your day. Take care. Bye now.